So I'd like to call to order the Tucson-Pima County Historical Commission Historic Landscapes Subcommittee meeting of Monday, February 27th, 2023 at 11:04 a.m. And so we will do a roll call to start. I'll start with myself, Steve Brady, present, and Jeff Elmond.
Here.
And Jan Mulder.
Here.
And Alice Sandange.
Here.
And JJ Lamb. Not here. So I'll put her under absent and maybe she will come a little bit later. And we have Helen Erickson.
Undefined person.
Yes. So she's a Tucson-Pima County Historical Commission member. Past member of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee, and we are putting her in the category of advisor at this time. And we will note that we have no guests present at the meeting at this time. So the first order of business is approval of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee minutes from the meeting of 12-12-2022. And do we have a motion or about that?
Is Jeff Allwine here? I move that we accept the minutes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we have comments or questions? Okay. Then we will do a roll call for the vote. I'll start with myself. Steve Grady, chair, votes aye. Jeff Elwind.
Aye.
Jan Mulder.
Aye.
And Alice.
Aye.
So the motion passes 4-0. Okay. Taking minutes at the same time. So there are no review cases at this time. So we'll go to item 4, which is current issues for information or discussion or action. And that is the Historic Landscape Subcommittee's possible role in researching, nominating, and reviewing rural and cultural landscapes. And we had sent out two documents, just reading them into the minutes, general guidelines for identifying and evaluating historic landscapes by Doreen Clement, 1999. And the second document is Protecting Rural Cultural Landscapes, Finding Value in the Countryside by Robert Melnick, 1983. And I have put that information into the minutes. Helen, should I present some of this information or?
Well, I think the first thing possibly, Steve, is to explain why, where we're going with this, because we have been very much focused on the city of Tucson. Mm-hmm. And I think that one of the points here is that we really should be looking at a larger area, because we are still and probably always will be the Tucson-Pima County Historical Commission. So perhaps you should sort of summarize that situation.
Well, I think you summarized it beautifully, but I think what we can say is that a lot of the work we've done over these past number of years is that we have looked at historic designed landscapes in the city predominantly in the form of parks. Then our research went a little bit further afield to historic streetscapes. But our concentration was predominantly, if not exclusively, in the city of Tucson. But there's a much wider category of important cultural resources or landscape resources that are being addressed by the National Park Service and other communities. And they include the cultural and rural landscapes And they come into different categories. So I'll jump in. I'm going to share my screen just because I'll be reading a summary that I have put together. Are you seeing the screen on the left? Yes, okay.
Yes.
So I'm going to start with, actually, I'm going to start with the earlier document. So I'm going to come down here. And that's the Robert Melnick, 1983, Projecting Rural Cultural Landscapes, Finding Value in the Countryside. And there is a, I'm going to read into the record a summary that was a direct quote from the document. Cultural landscapes are a certain significant portion of the country's landscape heritage. As the federal government's principal agency charged with the preservation and management of historic and cultural resources, the National Park Service has implicit responsibility for a variety of cultural landscapes. This paper suggests the method of analyzing and evaluating those landscapes within the framework of the existing National Park Service management policies. Of primary importance is the understanding that cultural landscapes exist within a larger natural setting, are part of that natural landscape, and embody many components. It is the inner relationship of these components as a set which defines and characterizes any single cultural landscape. So I wanted to read that. So there are some questions and then overall context. And this laid the groundwork for the second paper. So I have some of that information, but they might include context, overall cultural landscape organization, general land use categories, specific land use activities, organization, relationship of built form to major natural elements, circulation networks and patterns, boundary controlling elements, site arrangement, and then we can take a look at elements such as vegetation, building types, materials and construction techniques, small-scale elements, cemeteries and other symbolic places, historic views and other perceptual qualities. And so I wanted to kind of read this in, and it's a quick overview. And then if we take a look at the general guidelines for identifying and evaluating historic landscapes, that says Doreen Clement paper. We have some definitions which are helpful. And again, it has an emphasis on National Park Service, but it is a basis for how other communities are identifying and protecting these resources. So historic design landscapes are what we've been working with in the form of parks. That's what our subcommittee has been working on predominantly. We have historic vernacular landscapes, and that's really what we're going to be talking about today. Ethnographic landscapes, which are probably a little bit less of what we're going to be talking about in historic sites. So historic landscapes can be associated with historic sites build on that. So I'm going to stop sharing, but I figured I would read that in. So Helen, how would you recommend, as an expert in this category, in this field, how would you recommend we move forward?
Well, I think we should have a discussion about how we can guide a commission in terms of identifying these landscapes. We are in a situation where we have, we have a very layered landscape out there in Pima County. This goes back to prehistory. We also have the various indigenous groups who have claim to trails and sacred sites and, you know, just a whole host of landscapes that should be noted and protected because they tell us the history of these people. And so this is the reason we started with designed landscapes. That's easy, right? You can see a designed landscape. You know the park was designed. It's very clear. And I think it's something that other members of the commission can see very clearly. But I think when you start talking about symbolic values of landscape, that the inheritance is perhaps from people who did not think about these as designed landscapes and did not have the same land, economic approach to land that we have. I think we really have to start educating our fellow commissioners to recognize and respect these. And I think that it'd be good for everybody who's on this call to sort of say, where can we go with this? How do we get this? You know, when we started Historic Landscape Subcommittee, people didn't recognize any kind of landscapes. So now we're trying to open up this category so that they have a better understanding of landscapes as a whole. So I think I'm going to shut up, and Steve, you can call on people in the commission to sort of say, where can we go?
So I think that the one landscape that we've really looked at that has some of these aspects is the University of Arizona, and I forget what they're calling it, but it used to be the Agriculture Extension.
University Farm.
University Farm. And it is a layered cultural landscape. So that's probably one of the few that it's a design landscape as well, but it is, it's one of the few that we've taken a look at this. So with that noted, I would like to open it up to questions and comments. And one of the overriding questions is, do you believe that this is something that we should be taking on? And how would we approach it if we did?
This is Jan. I guess, yeah. In some ways, it seems so evident that we're now, I understand why we started where we did, and it makes good sense now that we're looking more comprehensively, especially if we're thinking that these spaces are largely outside of the city of Tucson. I think that is true. That it seems like Linda and her office are key, given all the work that's been done with different kinds of conservation lands and different lands in the county in terms of just a partnership in helping to identify, as well as others like tribal entities and others who've been using the land. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a challenge, I think, to identify the lands proactively versus responding to an issue like some of the ones that JJ's brought to us, that they're not always just apparent or it's too big a universe.
I'm not sure why we're doing this in terms of. Is there some place this is not happening, or is it a priority to get the commission aware of some of this, which is what you were saying, Helen, at the end? So that's two different things in my mind. It's like, because this is, if you involve more tribal lands or rural lands, there is a system in place for that already that Linda knows, that tribes know, they have personnel, there's a communication. There's regional landscapes that are already being claimed and divided and moved on by tribes. They have this knowledge. I just don't see another entity. If we're thrown into that, it's not going to be useful. It's going to be more work for everybody. And it's probably going to muddy the waters a little bit. So, but I agree with, if your goal is to bring the commissioners along to think of this larger meaning of landscape, then I don't know. Maybe that's another initiative than this one. I'm not quite sure, because some of that archaeology stuff is being done in terms of, as I said, it's already kind of a system that works. So I just kind of curious about why we're talking about this, but maybe I just need more clarification.
Or maybe communicating some of it for those of us who are more ignorant about what is going on, and then what's the context for that and any mm-hmm. other efforts.
So I'll give an example where Helen and I were involved. The San Pedro Chapel had contacted us because there were some landscape changes. And it is less of a designed landscape than it is a cultural landscape that parcel is on. And I don't think the nomination included any of the landscape features. It's really structures-based. So this is a place where other entities probably would not be involved, but we would, we acted as a consult, as simply consultants. Would you agree with that, Helen? And so it's one where we brought a larger perspective to a very specific structures-based nomination.
Yeah, I think I think JJ's road to the cemetery and roads in general are our question, because there's always, you know, basically highway engineers consider the thing a success if it can be safe at any speed. And so we have a number of historic roads and trails out here that one thing I can say, for example, is the I-11 project, which will definitely end up coming to us. You know, the idea is, you know, what are the values you have to look at when you're looking at a cultural landscape? Well, obviously, when you're talking about running it through a desert area that has been significant to people for thousands of years, you know, you really have to think about that. And then you also have to think about the question, here's a potential road that would create a second level through Tucson to accommodate additional traffic. But that means that you are actually impacting the entire Tucson region with further division, which is being caused by, you know, a road construction. So I think roads are a big part of this. I also think that when things come up where they are talking about a building and they have not considered the context and the landscape, that's where we have to use our expertise to speak up and say, wait a minute, you need to look at this as well. These things have cultural meaning. So I don't know if that answers sort of the question there. It's not as though we want to take over a new jurisdiction, but we do want to know what other jurisdictions are doing and what their perceptions are so that we can communicate with the rest of the commission.
I think that that clarifies a little bit for me. So we're really talking about not a historic landscape subcommittee, but a historic and cultural landscape subcommittee. You could just put that cultural word in there to emphasize that. And I do think, though, that it would be helpful to know, I mean, in terms of the archaeology and tribal things, that you should know, everyone should know that there's a system in place for that. But in terms of like the roads and the issues that we had with the cemetery, and that you mentioned the roads and trails, I think that is broader. But I do also want to, I think that we should figure out what, like you were saying, what other people are doing, or what Linda's office is doing, or what rather, otherwise we will come across as, you know, wanting to increase our jurisdiction. And we don't want to do that. I wouldn't want to do that. I'd want to be more collaborative and partnership to see how we could enhance and aid in that work, given if we have a little larger scope.
I think you've brought up a really important point here. And early in the Historic Landscape Subcommittee history, Linda came and regularly gave us updates on what was going on in terms of cultural landscapes in her jurisdiction. And they are, for example, right now rewriting or redoing the plan, you know, the whole physical and cultural plan for Pima County. And I think that that's something we should be keeping track of. And we should also, you know, it's this communication thing too. I think some parts, people in the subcommittee are really only interested in architecture. Our goal is to be an advisory group to advise mayor and council, to advise the board of supervisors. And for example, if Linda has a concern, we would be able to support her perspective as the commission to these other entities. And to do that, we have to know what we're doing.
So Jeff, we haven't heard from you. And I have muted you. You'll need to unmute yourself though, because I muted you because there was background sound. What is it? Star six unmutes? I forget.
You're unmuted there. You can hear my voice.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I obviously I'm no expert in this area, but sometimes for the public, it's easier to recognize the historic value of the built environment because we have a church or a building that's old, that's obvious. Landscapes sometimes are a little harder to access on the part of the public until somebody like Helen comes along and says, this is important. For example, you mentioned the farm down by the river. You know, thousands of people pass that every day, probably think nothing of it. It's just a field, but it's got a story and it's an important part of many important things in the city, including the UA. So I'm not sure. There's no question in my mind that historic landscapes are a very important part of our cultural heritage. What role we have in it, I'm not sure, but there's no question of its importance.
So I'm understanding that the consensus is J.J. Lem had asked us to put on future agenda items, the Vail Crossing design guidelines and the PAD plan, which is really a cultural landscape discussion. For the N2K state land development near Vail. So we had not had a tradition of reviewing this because our charge had just developed for historic built landscapes. And so, would it be appropriate, for us to review that in our next meeting?
Yeah, I think we should, because that was my other question in the back of my mind is that what is our parameters or what does it say now? And if this is a proposed change, we should be informed. So I think we should.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess my comment about the scope or the there are so many things like the things that I think JJ's been bringing up that we don't necessarily, I don't think, maybe Linda does, maybe somebody does, has, there are all sorts of view sheds and cultural landscapes that are just fine until a road comes along or, you know, and they're not even brought to our attention or we're not necessarily made aware of those. And so I think to some extent we do end up probably by design or necessity, even as this becomes part of our responsibility, being responsive, because you can't necessarily anticipate all of these things, I think, till it's ripe or till something brings it to your attention.
Thank you.
I think the idea of getting information to the subcommittee is really important. And so I am wondering, Steve, if it would be possible for you to collaborate with JJ, who may be involved with her latest grandchild right now, I'm not sure, to talk about how these plans could be brought to the subcommittee to look at the landscape implications. Because, you know, again, if you look at what this subcommittee and the whole Pima County, Tucson-Pima County Historical Commission is told to do, we are advisory. We're trying to provide expertise to people so that when they make decisions, they don't make bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to demonstrate, you know, why, for example, if you run a road through one of the most historic areas of whatever, or something that has had these deep layers of history involved, that people should be aware of that. It's not just an empty space. And so perhaps being able to evaluate this plan directly would be a first step in explaining the perspective of a landscape subcommittee.
Helen, I think that's a great idea. And we'll try to set up a meeting where we have those resources and we have a chance to take a look at it. But I did want to bring up, this was a information only and discussion only meeting, but I wanted to thank you, Helen, for forwarding that information, because it'll give us an approach, and it'll give us the terminology, and it will give us guidelines for how we approach our discussion. So, any other questions or comments? I'll talk to JJ and put that on the agenda, and that will probably be our first opportunity to apply some of this. And Helen, thank you for your expertise.
Could I just ask Alice something at this point? Alice, I think you have the best communication with the Tohono O'odham at this point. And it would be very interesting for us to hear from them in terms of their cultural perspective on landscapes. I think that would, you know, Peter Steerer is a member of this commission as well. So we recognize the existence. You know, we're not an advising body for them, but if we can understand their perspective, we can be an advising body for other groups. And I don't know how you think you might be able to move forward with that.
So would you want a presentation? Would you want a documentation? Would you want to see what they claim and how they claim it, in terms, I'm thinking of the Four Southern Tribes agreement that they have, mm-hmm. when there's something that's found on these lands. Do you think, is it for you? Is it for the committee? Is it for the commission? You know, do you want to arrange Peter and I to work together to arrange something on this? I don't know. Any of the above, all of you.
No, I think all of the above, because I think, again, one of the problems is that we have on the commission people who just have no concept of how they are approaching cultural issues. And I think we need to have people aware of that, because, for example, the idea of a traditional cultural property is so foreign to most people who are in historic preservation. And I think an explanation of, you know, the values there, for example, concerns at the border with the construction there. What are those concerns? You know, I think that sharing that information, starting with this commission, but perhaps this subcommittee, but possibly moving to the whole commission, so that people have a much better understanding of what the cultural issues are when you're dealing with these landscape resources. Mm-hmm. And it's very different from dealing with a historic building, you know, where this is a new world for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure I can do something to help in that regard. I guess I give my fellow commissioners more credit in that area. My assumption was that if they're on this commission, that they would certainly know, have at least an awareness of some of these because they're on the commission and what that means and what the charge is as a commissioner. So, but if anyway, if people need to have more information, I'm happy to do what I can.
I would say that there's a spectrum or range of familiarity and work with this. But the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission, along with the advisory boards, have traditionally been very structure artifact based reviewers. And this is a more holistic approach. And I would hope that the presentation would go beyond this, would be to the full commission, because I think that that's a more meaningful conversation.
And perhaps the planning of how this could be extended to the full commission could be part of what this subcommittee is doing. It's also, I think, an opportunity to collaborate with the transportation subcommittee, because we overlap, you know, concerns definitely overlap. For example, the utility poles down Campbell, that would be something that impacted both historic landscape and the, you know, transportation subcommittee. So part of this might be figuring out how better to collaborate with that subcommittee on issues.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking the same thing. I was going to actually raise that issue about the transportation subcommittee. Yeah.
Right. And I think Carlos would be very excited to be part of some kind of active collaboration between the two subcommittees. So it's sort of a question of, we've got a lot of stuff out there. How do we pull these threads together to sort of make a productive whole? Remembering that we are advisory, we are not regulatory. It says in the Michael Baker report that the Historic Landscape Subcommittee is regulatory. And I don't know where they got the idea, but they said it twice in that report. It's not true.
Well, I'll see what I can do. I'll talk to some people and get back to Steve on it.
That would be great.
Thank you, Alice. And something very informal, a discussion could happen with us that could potentially lead to a presentation when there is time or capacity for the commission as a whole. Excellent. Any other questions or comments on this? Okay, so thank you. Next item is the Historic Landscape Subcommittee's role on divided historical commissions. And I don't think we have an action at this time because we don't know, but I think that it draws attention to the importance of resources being shared by the city and the county. Because there's not this resource base that I think could be duplicated. Helen, what do you think?
My update here is that I think that's dead in the water at this point. I don't think anybody wants it. I think that Pima County has stated their reluctance to divide. I think what has also become very clear is the reason that the commission can work as it does is because we are a larger commission. We do other things than simply deal with design guidelines. And I think if you look back at the Michael Baker report, the concept is that, well, the commission just, that is all it does. In other words, what Plans Review Subcommittee does is what some people envision the role of the entire commission. And of course, that's not the role, entire role of our commission. We are involved in education, advocacy for historic resources, you know, trying to sort through what comes by and give a voice to those resources that don't have a voice. And it's not simply design review. And I think that people have, over the course of the past 2 years, come to realize that design review is just one part of this commission. So I think that's, you know, we wouldn't have this subcommittee if we only had five people on a design review team.
True. And the design review team, with the exception of Jan, has very little understanding or experience, not understanding, with cultural landscape. I think that Terry may have some background in that as well. But I think it's the whole totality of our what we bring to this subcommittee that makes us meaningful. And I thank you all. What an amazing group. Okay. So future agenda items. Oh, I'm sorry. Were we done with that discussion?
This is Jan. I guess I just have one question for Helen, and it may be outside. Well, I know it's outside the scope of this subcommittee, but the feedback we're getting so far officially from the city is that it's still an open question. They're going to have this study session with mayor and council. Do you think that make it sound like they're still talking about a lot of stuff that doesn't necessarily make sense? But do you think that will still go forward?
I think the study session will go forward. It was promised that at the full commission meeting, I think you probably all heard this, that before the city goes to mayor and council, they will come to the commission.
Right.
And also, I am hoping that the study that we are involved in, which really part of that, excuse me, again, is to lay out the range of activities that the commission is involved in. And so I think really the whole focus of the city's intent was to simplify design review. It was not really to completely restructure the commission. And I think they sort of got tangled up in that and didn't take the wider perspective, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what we may find in the end is that they find a new way or an expedited way to deal with design review, but it's not going to affect the overall work of the commission.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Helen. And that is, you're right on topic and right at the right time. So thank you. Any other questions before we move on to the next item? Okay, so we have future agenda items for upcoming meetings. And I have left Commissioner Lamb's suggestion that we review that specifically. Are there any other items that anyone would like to include? Okay, I will take it. Oh, Helen.
You should, Alice, if you're willing, I think you could give people sort of a preliminary idea of what you might want to do working towards this. Okay, so what if we were to ask Linda to come to the next meeting and talk about what's happening in Pima County? That would give Alice a little more time to sort of reach out to people, and perhaps then sequential to that, we could talk with people from the nation and, you know, see what their concerns are. You know, we're trying to open up the box. And mm-hmm. to do so, I think we have to have input from outside.
I was thinking of being put on the agenda for future meetings to to do just that. Hopefully I can get that together by then, whatever that is.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
I'll include them as two agenda items then, so that we can do one at a time or at the same time, depending on what people's availability are. So.
Okay.
I will stop trying to type at the same time because my keyboard seems to have stopped. But I will make note of that. Anything else for future agenda items?
Yeah, I think one of the discussion might happen. Who are the people, in addition, say, to Linda for Pima County and someone organized from the nation, who do we have to come to talk to us about what is happening with cultural landscapes? So, I mean, that's another discussion that people probably need some time to think about. Okay. Maybe we need a Department of Transportation person to tell us how they think they're dealing with it. Or, you know, this might, I think it might be like something we should think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear if how other committees looking at it, not just transportation, but other committees, even though, Stephen, you said that it's probably not happening, but just if we talk about it and do this, then they'll be aware of it. So
I think that's excellent. So we have three potential. We have Pima County, we have we have the tribal perspective, and we also have transportation. So we have three potential participants in a future meeting or discussion, either individually or collectively. Okay. Excellent. Call to the audience, information only. There were no comments were received, and we don't really have much of an audience. And anything else before we adjourn? So I'll just jump in. I want to thank everybody, and especially Helen, for keeping this on keeping this topic going. Helen, I'm going to speak to Terry about your role. We might have to make it more official. And so I'll talk to her about how we incorporate you. We don't want an even number because that means a quorum is harder to reach. But because we have to have a majority, that would have to be four of the six would have to be present. But I would like Helen to continue her fantastic work. And if we need your involvement, we will happily accept that. So
I think Terry came up with
the solution. Okay, we'll take a look at that. So the meeting adjourns at 11:48. We actually finished without having a full hour. So thank you all. And really, I so appreciate, I kind of look around and I'm like, this is a very impressive and very involved subcommittee. So thank you.
Thanks all.
Thank you, Stephen.
Bye-bye.